Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of Attention Talk Radio is brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, using ADHD as an excuse, it's pitfalls.
We're going to get to the content in a moment. Before we do, we'd like to thank children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for bringing this program to you. In celebration of that event, we're anxious to give away free digital copies of Attention Magazine. To get yours, just listen to our show. We'll be sharing a secret word a couple times. Write it down. Listen to another show and write down the secret word of that show, and then just email me the two words. That's all you need to do. Email address is attention@attentiontalkradio.com. When we get it, we'll forward it to Chad. We'll get you a PDF copy of the current edition of Attention Magazine, and they'll send you a PDF copy of the next edition when it's in print. We have a little tip that we're going to share with you that Chad made, and we'll get into the show.
You've heard it from organization experts and others. If you want to get things done, you need to keep to-do lists. If all the things you need or want to accomplish keep you up at night, you might think about spending 5 or 10 minutes before bed writing down your list for the following day. Some people prefer to start their day by creating a list. Choose whichever works best for you. To learn more about time management and ADHD, visit chad.org.
Thank you so much, Chad, for your continued support. For those that are not aware, Chad is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage all of our listeners to either donate or become members to support Chad. Financial stability is really important for them to have the resources to have people lobbying on Capitol Hill for the ADHD community and working with different regulatory agencies on wording to make sure that those with ADHD get the accommodations that they need in order to thrive. Again, for more information, to donate or to become a member, go to chadd.org.
So, Jan, can you introduce our guest?
Yes, Jeff. We're very happy to have Elaine Taylor-Kloss with us today. For over a decade, Elaine struggled as a mom in an ADHD plus-plus family of five. After discovering that a coach approach dramatically helped her and her entire family, she co-founded ImpactADHD.com, the first virtual parent coaching support organization for parents of complex kids. In 2020, ImpactADHD expanded to become Impact Parents. A master certified coach, Elaine has served as a parent advisor for the American Academy of Pediatrics and is on the National Board of CHAD. In addition to serving as CEO of Impact Parents and providing private coaching for adults worldwide, Elaine co-hosts the Parenting with Impact podcast. She is a frequent contributor to Attitude and Attention magazines, is co-author of Parenting ADHD Now, Easy Intervention Strategies to Empower Kids with ADHD, and she is author of the 2020 number one new release, The Essential Guide to Raising Complex Kids with ADHD, Anxiety, and More. So, Jeff, we're so glad to have Elaine with us today.
Elaine, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be here.
I always love having you on here. We have such great conversations, and there's always a nugget or two that I take away from you that's like gold, and so I'm anxious to discover what that's going to
be
today. So, you know, sometimes there's topics that we have out there that people with ADHD don't really want to talk to or address and stuff, and today's topic is that notion of ADHD as an excuse. I'm going to let you start. When somebody says an excuse, what does that mean to you?
Well, you know, I hear parents all the time saying, I don't want to get my kid a diagnosis because I don't want them to use it as an excuse, right? I just got off the phone with somebody who's known their kid had ADHD. And ready for this? The psychiatrist puts the teenager on ADHD meds. And when the mom asked for a proper diagnosis, the psychiatrist said, well, what do you need that for? And the mom was like, well, because I'd like her to know if this is what she's dealing with. And that's I think, the key to what we're really talking about is when we know what we're dealing with, we can deal with it. We can do something about it. But if we don't know, then we can just, you know, it's really easy to say, well, I can't, or I struggle with, or it's hard for me, or, You know, like it's really easy to say, well, I just, my memory sucks.
Yeah.
Cool.
But
all right.
On the before I forget it, on the diagnosis front, I never forget Dr. David Teplin's a person we've interviewed a couple times, and he said it's hard to treat something if you don't really know what you're treating, you know?
Right.
And I thought that was like kind of incredible. But this excuse thing, there's a lot of different angles to this, because at one level, I don't want my kid to have ADHD label as an excuse. But at the same time, I think people have misnomers. To me, ADHD is an executive function and impairment, and you need to accommodate that impairment. It's not an excuse. It's an explanation as to why there's a challenge, but it gives you reason to get the accommodation. As I tell people, behavior is changeable. Impairments are not. So like my eyesight is impaired. I use glasses so I can read to achieve my potential, right? I don't say,
right,
my poor eyesight's my excuse, but I actually sit there and say, that's an explanation of why I need the accommodations. And
right.
I think
I could
people
say
get
my
lost
eyesight's
in it.
Terrible, and I can't drive, and I can't write, and I can't read. Or let's say that I'm legally blind and I really can't write or read. Like, I can't read or drive, but then I can listen to things on tape, or I can use voice-assisted technology. Or like, I mean, I can navigate it if I know what it is I'm trying to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when it's a good explanation, then you can do something with it. When
absolutely.
It's an excuse, it's an argument for doing nothing.
So you have you can use ADHD as an explanation to understand what's going on. It's the excuse part that kind of gets in the way, and really kind of focus on it, because I think that this is kind of one of those things where I find a lot of times people with ADHD are very flippant, where they'll sit there, oh, yeah, that's because of my ADHD. And I did an interview years ago with Dr. Ari Tuchman and said, well, you know, you use something as an excuse. It's like, now everybody else, like, okay, that's the reason I'm not doing it, so I'm not responsible for my behavior. Now the burden's falling on you over there to compensate for my challenge. What do you think of that?
Which is not the same thing as an accommodation, right?
Yes.
Because that sounds like, and so that's what jumped at me. It's like, we're not talking about accommodation. Is I understand that I've got a challenge and I'm looking for a way to level the playing field to figure out how to navigate my challenge in a way that I can reach my potential. An excuse is, I can't do that. You have to change the world around me because I can't do that.
Yes.
And I'm not going to worry about trying to figure out how I could do that or how you can set me up for success in doing that. I'm just going to argue for my limitation and say, no, sorry, not me. One of the things that makes me most frustrated in the realm of ADD is people who say, I can't do that because of my ADD.
Yes.
It's maddening to me. Now, which is different from, that's an area I struggle with, and so instead of doing it this way, I'm going to do it that way.
Agreed.
Right? And can I use an example? Because
this is
an area where my husband and I get into battle all the time. So I really struggle with working memory and with memory generally in a way that he doesn't. And so one of the things that's really hard for me is remembering the details of something and retrieving it later.
Uh-huh.
And so when I say I'm really struggling with the memory of that, can you write it down, make sure it's captured from my assistant, like do something in a way that I can capture the memory and externalize it, that works for me. And he can sometimes get upset with me. It's like, well, if you would just try to remember, like, no, I'm telling you I need to have it written down because this is a challenge for me to remember. It's not that I'm not trying, but and this is classic example is when he teaches me how to use a piece of technology, right? Like, I need it written down so that it's externalized. That's not because I'm saying I can't remember. What I am saying is my brain isn't likely to hold it in memory. I have to find a different way to help myself remember.
So
that distinction makes sense?
Yeah, and I want to kind of my version of that, because today one of the things that I really want to communicate is, and again, this is like one of those things that a lot of people with ADHD don't want to hear, and that is you got to be careful, because if you're using ADHD as an excuse, it creates a lot of problems that we'll get into. But I'm going to give an illustration of this. For me, I have a system. I have a really hard time remembering things like you do. And I do a lot of an idea or thought comes to me. If I've got my phone, I'll actually send myself an email with the item in the text. That way it's going to go to my inbox, which I spend a lot to. And once it goes into my system, I'm good. But I have a hard time remembering things like that. And so what I remember, like, my kids used to sit there and they say, hey, Dad, can you do this? And I would sit there and say, okay, I'm not anywhere right now where I can capture this idea. And I would, number one, if they did it, I'd say, excuse me a second, I've got to send myself a note because I know that I'm going to forget about it. So I would pause, self-regulate, and do that. But I've actually had some times before where they're catching me at an inopportune time where I'll sit there and say, I tell you what, I'm happy to do that, but I don't have a way to record it right now. Could you send it to me? And when I'm doing that to them, what I'm doing is I'm kind of sitting there and saying, I'm not in a position where I can adhere to your request the way I need to. However, if you were able to do that for me, you can do that. So you can kind of pick your outcome. Like, if you wanted me to do it right now, I'm not going to be able to comply because I don't have the capability of remembering it because I'm not in where I need to be to record that. But if you want to send me an email, then it will likely get done. That way I'm kind of communicating to you, if this is really, really important to you, I can get it done if you do it this way. Now, again, I take responsibility when I have the ability to take myself, and I'll say, oh, I forgot that. That's an explanation. But I'm still responsible for my behavior. When people do some of that stuff, I still have to figure that stuff out. And explaining it but not dishing off to somebody else is, I think, what's really the important thing to take away from this. Is that example makes sense?
Yeah, because we're still if it's an explanation, then I'm still taking responsibility for whatever I'm responsible for. If it's an excuse, it's like it's like we push it away and say, no, sorry, can't handle that. Now, it's fine if I say, like, I'm going to delegate that. I get that that's a challenge area for me. Like, I have an assistant who manages my schedule because, frankly, I think at it. For a lot of reasons, part of which is I overcommit myself and I make myself available to too many people and then I don't have time for myself. You know, like there are a lot of reasons why it's very challenging for me to navigate it. And so I take responsibility for that, not by saying making the excuse of I can't do that and I'm just going to be overworked all the time. The explanation is it's a navigation for me. And so it's a reasonable place for me to outsource someone else to help me with my guidance. I'm the one saying, these are the parameters. Help me manage myself because I don't want to be working 70 hours a week, right? I
totally agree, yeah. Okay, what? We take a break here just because we got a good stopping point, and we'll kind of come back to this because I do want to come back to a lot of the invisible things when people with ADHD are using as an excuse that might not be aware of and some of the impact. So we're going to go to a break. Everybody, check out everything you can about Impact Parents, specifically Elaine, at impactparents.com/attention. Our secret word tonight is pitfalls, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Are you a parent of a child, teen, or young adult with ADHD? If you're like us, you're always looking for something you can do that will really help your kids. Impact Parents gives you the tools with guidance so you can empower your kids so they can learn to manage their own lives. For confidence in parenting and peace in your home, download a free guide with 12 key coaching tools. Go to impactparents.com/parentADHD for the guidance you've been seeking. That's impactparents.com/parentADHD. Start making things better for your family today.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by gigcoaching.com.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We're here with Elaine Taylor-Claus having a conversation about the pitfalls of using ADHD as an excuse. Before the break, we were trying to make that delineation between an explanation and an excuse. And I wanted to kind of get into this because I think that a lot of people with ADHD, and I might need your help articulating this, Lane, is they'll say they have ADHD and they'll use it kind of as an excuse, and they're not aware of how the neurotypical might take that. Again, it can come across, I can't do that because I have ADHD. And again, now the burden is for the neurotypical to compensate for the person with ADHD. And there's work. You're asking them to do something that's over and above what's going on. And sometimes I feel like the person with ADHD has an expectation that they should just do that. Like, not even, if they did it, they're not necessarily grateful. It's just an expectation. And I think that if you're not careful, it can create a lot of resentment from the person on the other side, which creates more of a problem between that relationship. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, so many examples are coming up in my head as I was listening to you, because, you know, this shows up in relationships a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think back to the early years of my marriage. I'm coming up on 32 years of marriage, right?
Wow.
So
yeah.
We've made it through, right? I know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we've made it there were a lot of rough years.
Yep.
But in the early, first 10, 12 years, we didn't know that we had ADHD, actually more than that, years. And so what happened was a lot of resentment built because, you know, if I had more executive function in one area, I would sort of end up doing more and more and more, and then I'd start getting resentful because I was carrying the lion's share of a lot of the home responsibilities. And it wasn't until we were able to kind of look at each other and say, okay, we both are struggling with executive functions. Where are your strengths? Where are mine? And how can we play to our strengths and then support each other, mm-hmm. so that we don't feel resentful and we don't one of us end up doing everything. But that took a lot of conscious conversation and coaching and support, I mean, and awareness and understanding. It took a lot to understand and explain to ourselves what was happening so that we could arrange, manage it. But
mm-hmm.
and before that, it was just the excuse of, well, he would forget or I wouldn't remember, or like, and then, well, if they don't do it, I'm going to have to do it. And then I get resentful. And like, it's not, and that's in an environment where both of us had ADD. It's even more complicated when somebody doesn't. And the resentment is real, right?
Absolutely. So we're kind of going into this realm of owning your ADD too. Like, one of the things that you can have ADHD, and I coach people on this all the time, you can have it, but you have to actually own your behavior. Like, you can't actually, like, I'm not responsible for my behavior. You have to own it. And one of the things that this, it's kind of the same thing, because people with ADHD, they just use ADHD as an excuse, but also that notion like of an apology. Like, a lot of times they'll say, oh, I'm sorry. Now, they're sorry for something that might be ADD behavior, and they're saying the word I'm sorry as if to say, I'm sorry, sincerely, will you forgive me and can I get out of it? The problem is that when you keep always saying sorry over a long time and you're not actually changing the or doing anything about it, after a while, the other people are like, oh, they're just saying an apology as a throwaway. Oh, that's like, you expect you can do anything you want and just apologize, and then I have to wipe the slate clean. And I find that creates more challenges for neurotypicals after a while, because they get kind of resentful, like, you're not really sorry now, like, you're just placating me. This goes back into the pitfalls of this, that you have to be very careful with what you're doing here, because you do have to own your behavior. I mean, is that thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's, so many things come up because, like, on the one hand, like, you can say, I'm sorry, and so then you become – you run that risk of becoming overly self-deprecating, and then you stop believing that you can do anything if you're constantly apologizing and not changing your behavior to navigate it differently. It's one thing to be able to say, I'm sorry, let me learn from that experience and change how I'm doing things so it doesn't happen again. And it's another to just keep apologizing. The thing that's coming to me is, so in coaching, we talk about, like, our job as in coaching awareness is to take responsibility for our impact in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I first started coaching, one of the things I did, I committed to myself when I was still a coach in training, was that I was going to stop apologizing for being late. And what that meant was that I either had to figure out how to get someplace on time or I had to take responsibility. So it wasn't apologizing in terms of, I'm so sorry, I'm late, there was a truck in the way. Like, I wasn't going to make excuses for being late anymore. I was
yep.
going to own
uh-huh.
it. And so the shift was, I started hearing myself saying things like, I'm really sorry, I didn't allow enough time to get here today, which was a very transparent, honest way, and I didn't want to have to keep saying that. And so I started figuring out how to get there on time, because my commitment to myself was to take responsibility for the impact and to not make excuses like, wow, there was a truck block in the driveway, or the traffic was really bad. I mean, how many times do we get someplace? And the truth is that had we given ourselves 5 extra minutes, it wouldn't have been a problem. And so that's the shift. It's taking responsibility for the impact and owning it so that we can
yep.
change the behavior.
So two things. One is I always have to bring executive function in on this. What I like about what you just said, I quit apologizing but saying I didn't allow myself enough time. One of the subtle things about ADHD that I don't people really realize, after studying Dr. Barclay's model, it's become vivid to me. It's so much of a thinking impairment that people don't realize. Mm-hmm. But when you stop and you actually say those words out loud, you're actually pausing and you're thinking. You're engaging your executive mm-hmm. function brain, the fact that you didn't allow yourself enough time. By saying it's an excuse, you didn't actually think through it. But if you find yourself repeating that over and over and over, right, you're actually thinking about it, actually can register, whereas just saying, I'm sorry, I'm late, it's not really registering. You're not moving forward. That's the first comment. The second comment, I want to make sure people are aware of this, because one is to change in your behavior, right? That's the goal. But really, I like to say change the outcome. Sometimes you can change your behavior to do that, or other times you can make other decisions and have things work differently to get you – you can do things differently. So it's not always a strict change in behavior. You can do things in a different way to get to the outcome. Either way, the point really mm-hmm. is to own the outcome of what's going
right.
on. And that's the trick with people with ADHD. Yep.
Well, there's a million ways to get yourself to do anything, right? There's no one right way to do absolutely anything. And when we recognize that it's not about how to do it, but what are the ways that are going to do it in a way that works for me and my brain, that's the shift.
Yep.
Right?
100%. 100%.
Because it's what works for me and my brain. That's what managing ADD is about. And you can't do that if you're making the excuse, my brain can't.
Yep.
You can do that if you say, well, here's what's hard for my brain, here's what works for my brain, let me try it this way.
Touche. Tell you what, this is another good time to go to break. Let's do that. We'll come back. Forgot my train of thought. I'll remember when we go to break. So everybody, go learn more about Elaine Taylor Kloss at impactparents.com/attention. A little shout out to Time Timer, who's got a great tool to help people with clock math. It's a cognitive shortcut to help people with time. Our secret word is pitfall. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Could hiring an attention coach really help you move forward? Does a child get wet when they dive into a swimming pool? You can get started moving forward today. Just call Dig Coaching Practice at 813-837-8084 and schedule a free consultation. Tell us you heard about us on Attention Talk Radio and get 50% off your discovery session. For more information, visit digcoaching.com. Don't delay. Do it today. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Elaine Taylor Kloss talking about ADHD, owning it. Understanding is an explanation, not an excuse, and the notion that if you're too flamboyant with the excuse, you understand how neurotypicals might perceive you on that. And so in this vein, we're talking about ADHD, own it. Number one, you're responsible for your behavior, even though it might be impaired. Use it as an explanation. But there's another subtle thing I want to get your thoughts on, Elaine, is I have a lot of people who want a significant other to go through because they want them to understand them, or they want them to understand their ADHD. Yeah. And in one sense, I think it's the human. I mean, everybody wants to be understood. I don't have a problem with that. But sometimes I think the people with ADHD, they're so incessant, they want everybody to understand them that they actually lose sight. You need to understand them in order to be understood. Now, I could sit there and really try to understand my impact on a neurotypical, and they might not reciprocate. But I do know this, is if I'm so focused on everybody understanding me that I'm not trying to understand them, this goes a little bit one way, and we're back to kind of where we are, where everybody else has got to do this work for somebody with ADHD. What's your thoughts on that?
It's tough what you're raising, because there's a what comes to me is you're not wrong, and
uh-huh.
And when people with ADHD are surrounded by particularly loved ones who don't understand their ADHD, it can be really hard. It can be very hard to get to help to create the accommodations you talked about earlier, to ask for what you need in a way that's respected and supported and doesn't seem like you're making an excuse. Because the notion that this is an executive function challenge that needs to be addressed, and that, you know, I go back to my example earlier, I want to be able to use the technology. I think it's cute that you think I'm going to remember, but if it's not written down and I haven't done it 10 times repetitively, I'm not likely to remember. So I need another way to do that. I needed him to understand and accept that the way he wanted me to do it wasn't the way I needed to do it. Yep. And that's because of how my brain is wired. So he did need to understand the way the ADHD shows up for me differently than for him.
Well, there's a certain extent having an open mind, but this is a tough concept I'm realizing I'm getting into, because, you know, you and I have talked a lot about control versus influence. And so I'm going to bring that into this conversation. If I'm trying to control everybody to get me, right, I start pushing hard at some point in time that people resist it, and then I'm losing them at that point in time because they're like, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's made up. I need you to do something about your behavior. So if we try too hard, we actually lose some of that influence where somebody might be open to the explanation. So it's kind of like you're trying too hard to get everybody to understand you. And I think my what I'm communicating here is we'd love everybody to understand us. Don't get me wrong. That's like the nirvana. But sometimes if you try too hard, but the other side is, and part of this conversation is to understand where they're coming from a little bit in order to own your behavior so that then they might reciprocate. That doesn't mean that they will, but you have a higher chance of them reciprocating if it's not all about you, if there's a little bit of balance here. And again, I'm not sure I'm doing a really good job articulating this, but
no, I hear that. That was really helpful, because here's what comes up. We teach a lot of coaching skills in our world, and so part of what you're saying is that we as people with ADHD that's impacting those we love or people we work with or whatever, we need to take enough responsibility for our impact, like I was saying earlier, to acknowledge what their experience is of us, right? If we're acknowledging, I can see that it must be frustrating for you. I get that it's really frustrating that I struggle with time so much, and then ask for what we need for the accommodation instead of just assuming, well, if you understood me, then you would, right? There's a recognition piece that we're talking about, and so on the one hand, I was saying it really helps for people to understand us. But if they don't, then it's our job to educate them in a way that is not defensive, that's not offensive, that's not combative, but that's actually enrolling people to want to support us instead of demanding that they accept us. That's the shift that I'm hearing coming up in what you're saying, is when we take an attitude like, you know, you owe me, you need to, then we're just going to push people away. But when we say, man, this is so frustrating, it's frustrating for me, I bet it's really frustrating for you, like, how could I help make this, you know, if we take a different angle and energy around it, that's more collaborative, then we can actually move way further in getting what we're looking for from the people who we really want to understand us.
100%. So I just want to kind of just make sure we're focused as we get coming to a close here. The idea is reflexively, I think people with ADHD, they go to, oh, I have an ADHD, and they're not realizing the way they're not intentional about it. The manner in which they're doing this is shifting a lot of the burden over onto the other person, and that creates problems. You certainly want to be able to explain it, but you have to own your behavior and understand your impact on them and to be a certain be somewhat empathetic about for their plight in order to maybe have them meet you halfway, because a lot of times what I'm seeing is people have gotten so – it's such an excuse. The world needs to accommodate me at some point in time. And, again, mm-hmm. that's the pitfall. You fall into that trap, and you're trying to get help, and it's actually doing the wrong thing for you. So I'm realizing this is
crazy.
It's so true.
Well, I just want to throw one more thing out. Here's what's coming up is this is in some ways what we're seeing in the autism community. There's a movement in the autism community that says, don't make me be like you. You come to me. And I'm not judging it. I see where it's coming from. There's a certain amount of, we need to find the middle, right?
Yep.
But there's a supportive way in which the world kind of looks at the autism community and says, and gets, okay, this is hard. We got to meet you somewhere in the middle. I'm not sure that the world has as much compassion for the ADHD community. Thank you for this. Autistic community, frankly.
Well, but today was to convey the mindset, like it's a tough pill sometimes, but be aware that if you're cavalier and that type of stuff, what you want, the way you're acting is actually getting you further from what you actually want. And there's no guarantees. So the best you can do is just manage the best you can. And it's an explanation. It's not an excuse, and really own your behavior. So any last nuggets before we close this out?
No, it's as so many things you and I talk about, it's a little fraught. There are pitfalls. And with awareness, knowledge, and understanding comes opportunity.
Touché. So, as always, Elaine, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, always a pleasure.
Everybody, check out impactparents.com/attention. Our secret word tonight is pitfalls. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. Catch us next week. Take care.